Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
It's a beautiful story I want to tell you this morning about the woman at the well. Now let's look at this text. This beautiful story of Jesus wandering from Judea into Galilee, going through Samaria, and passing through those despised Samaritans. There was a history there that I won't tell you this morning, but it's part of that beautiful story. Jesus comes to Sychar, a place near Shechem, after having passed Mount Gerizim, and comes to Jacob's well. The wells in those days were not like the wells we'd see out on the farm with a little wall around it, maybe a little roof over it to keep the leaves out and the wheel and the bucket. It's not that kind of well. Jacob's well is still there, and if you go online, you can find some pictures of it. It's a huge thing. It must be about as big around as this room, and it's got steps going down one side to kind of circle down to where the water is, down to the bottom of that well. And to get water out of the well, you'd take your vessel and you'd carry it down those steps, down to the water and fill your vessel up, and then probably put it up on your head, and then walk up out of the well, carrying the water up out of the well. That would be more the picture than it was. It would have a wall around it to keep debris from falling into it, probably for safety reasons too, to keep people from falling into it. And Jesus was weary, and he sat on the well, and his disciples went into town to buy food. It must have been that they passed this woman that was coming out to the well and probably paid her very little attention. When she got to the well, Jesus asked her for a drink. And she said, more or less, "Well, why would you ask me for a drink? You're a Jew. And the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." This was going to be a difficult woman for Christ to meet with. I'd like to tell you the whole story, but he began to talk to her about living water. And she said, "Are you greater than Jacob who dug this well?" He was, wasn't he? Much greater. And she had little idea who she was talking with. He was kind and gentle and gracious to her, and her answers to him were really somewhat confrontational. She said, "Give me this water that I may never drink again." And Jesus talked about a water you could drink where you would never be thirsty again. He said, "You drink this water, you'll thirst again, but the water I give you, you'll never thirst." She said, "Well, give me that water so I'll never be thirsty again." He said, "Go get your husband." Now, the woman said, "I don't have a husband." And she was right. And Jesus knew this. He said, "You've spoken the truth, because you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband." She said, "I perceive that you are a prophet." And so she was beginning to understand who this stranger was at the well. She knew no man would just know that. No Jew just passing through would know that. "I perceive you're a prophet." And what did she do? Well, the first thing she did was try to bring up some religious controversy. "Our fathers worship in this mountain," pointing to Mount Gerizim. "And you say Jerusalem is the place we ought to worship." You see, the Samaritans had been taught somewhat of the law of Moses. In fact, their ancestors were of Israel. But they had intermarried with the Assyrians, which was despised people by those of Judea. But they built their own temple in Mount Gerizim. And the first thing she wanted to do, and she found out that she was talking to a prophet, was talk about a religious controversy about worship. It's almost like some people sometimes talk to us. Well, one of the first things out of their mouth sometimes is, "Well, you don't use music in your worship." As forgetting that singing is music. But they want to talk about a controversy. Now, Jesus dealt with the question she raised. He never compromised this. He says, "We know who we worship, because salvation is of the Jews." The Jews were worshiping at the right place when they were worshiping at the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus did not dismiss that. But he did say the time is coming when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I've sometimes wondered about that statement. In that the Jews were worshiping according to the truth, at least in regard to the place. But we know at that time much of that worship was just an empty ritual. They weren't worshiping in spirit. And here are these Samaritans, with this desire to worship God, and built their own temple. And they may have been worshiping in spirit, but it wasn't right. It wasn't in truth. It wasn't according to God's instructions. True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. And I just wonder if that might have been part of the context of what was going on here. Doing the right thing in the right way. But there was more to it than that. She said, I know. I know when the Messiah comes. And so he had moved that discussion away from that religious difference to something that they had in common that he could build on. And Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. And she realized this was the Messiah. The disciples were coming. They saw her talking with Jesus, and she ran back into town, passing those disciples again. There's that woman that we passed coming out here, wasn't it? If they had, it would have been about that time. And now she runs past. She left her water pot. And they came up and said, were you talking with this woman? As though, how could you even speak to a Samaritan woman? Jesus did something else that was strange. He wasn't hungry anymore. They tried to get him to eat. He says, I have meat to eat you know not of. My meat is to do the will of the Father who sent me. And though still physically weary, he was spiritually refreshed. And he said, look out into the harvest. And don't say it's 3 months of the harvest. The fields are already wide in the harvest. And there be those that sow. And there be those that reap. And when the harvest is gathered, we'll rejoice together. Thinking of the many hearts that were out there that wanted to hear the truth and to drink of that living water that he'd come to provide. And that woman returned from Samaria. She walked in there and said, come see the man that told me everything that ever I did. And they came and followed that woman out to Jesus. And they heard Jesus and they said to that woman, now we heard what you said, but now we believe because we have heard him ourselves. And while the Jews usually made that rapid journey to get right on through Samaria, Jesus stayed there for 2 more days teaching them, giving them that living water that had real satisfaction to their spirit. I couldn't help but think if he might have not have said some things like he said on the Sermon on the Mount, some of those same words and that passage, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now here are the 5 points I want us to get from that lesson. And this is in regard to the meeting coming up. One of them is this. Most of us would have been like those disciples, wouldn't we? We probably wouldn't have thought that woman was a very good prospect. Here she was with cultural difference, racial difference, religious difference, living a desperate, troubled life, obviously. How could a woman not have been frustrated in those relationships she'd had with those men and disappointed in what had happened to her? And living a life of guilt, not even really wanting to open up that she'd had 5 husbands, just I have no husband, and not explain that. Here, she came across Jesus. While many would have said this wouldn't be a very good prospect, Jesus saw a living soul. And through His love and His kindness and His patience and His ability to understand with her, He was able to reach into her heart so that it opened up. And even this argumentative woman, He was able to reach into her and teach her things so that she could receive them. Gave her that living water. I tell you, the gospel is for all. That's a message. The Jews really thought they were the stuff. And here the gospel is sent to the Gentiles and these Samaritans. And these Samaritans were coming and listening to the gospel and believing. And those were the fields that were wide in the harvest. Sometimes we think, well, let's don't ever think if we ever do. But don't let us ever think, well, the gospel is for folks like us. People that look like us and act like us and live like us. That's who the gospel's for. The gospel is for all the world and the gospel is for all. One of the reasons we want to have this meeting is to get that gospel out there to all. I want you to notice message here on sowing and reaping. The reason those Samaritans knew something about God and about the temple, because back in 2 Kings chapter 17, after the Assyrians had come and taken the Israelites out of northern Israel, they came and populated that land, and things were not going well with them. And they thought, maybe we're worshiping the wrong gods. And they asked about the God of that land, whom they thought He was, Jehovah. And some priests from Judea went up there and tried to teach them about Jehovah and were partially successful. They'd had a mixed religion out of this. Those seeds that had been sown hundreds of years ago were now ready to harvest. And when we have this gospel meeting, I would love to think that we'll get to the point where our gospel meeting is a harvest. Where we've been teaching people and talk, and they got their interest up, so they come to the meeting and they hear the truth maybe in fullness or in a more formal setting and says, that's what I want to do. I'm going to believe and obey and be part of God's church and not part of any man's church, but just do what the Bible says and make that commitment. Wouldn't that be a wonderful meeting? And our meeting may not be a time of harvest, but it can be a time of sowing. And so there's a time of sowing and a time of harvest. If we don't have a harvest this meeting, let's have a time of sowing. Let's make sure we're being part of spreading the seed. And then there'll come a time, and that seed may take years to nurture, but there'll come a time when there will be a harvest of souls out of that. And when the harvest comes, both the sowers and the reapers will rejoice together, as the Lord had said. Another thing about this I want you to notice in this whole thing, Jesus took the initiative. He didn't wait for that woman to come asking her about worship, about religion, about the Messiah. Jesus took the initiative to bring that conversation to her. And He did this in a very gentle way. Would you give me a drink of water? That was the way He initiated that. There's not any of us that can't initiate a religious discussion that same way. People we know, people we see, we can go knock on our neighbor's doors and ask them, could I have a cup of sugar? Do you have any or something? Ask your neighbor, can I help you with this? Something to bring up the conversation, to initiate that conversation, with the desire to find an opening to bring this into a spiritual discussion where you'll be able to reveal to them the love you have for their soul and the valuable riches that there are in Christ. We're not evangelistic by sitting back and waiting for someone to knock on our door and ask us if they'll teach us the gospel. But we go out and knock on their doors and initiate the discussion. Now, this gospel meeting is a good chance to do that. Go knock on their door. At church, we're having a gospel meeting. And we've been encouraged to invite our friends. And I want you to be my friend, and if you'll come to that meeting. You initiate that and make that happen. And then there's the last point here. And that is this whole lesson we don't want to miss that the Lord made about the living water. We were studying this morning in Sunday school about people looking for love. Well, people look for love. A lot of time they do a lot of foolish things and hurt themselves looking for love. And like this woman, she had five husbands. Had not found the kind of love that would satisfy her soul. But people are looking for the wrong things, for joy and happiness and peace and contentment in life. And it's found in the living water. It's not in the physical, material things of this world that blind us in our culture because there's so much of it to enjoy. And yet it leaves us empty, longing for something greater. And we've got it. It's the living water. It's the truth of the gospel. We can satisfy the flesh and it'll be satisfied for a moment, but it won't be satisfied long. But the living water of God's truth can satisfy the soul in such a way that it'll just continue to well up as a spring of water within us into eternity. People would love that. If they find out that's what we are offering and that's what they see, give me this water. that I may drink of it and never thirst again. And that's what we have to offer. So think about that as you're thinking about your priorities this week, about your neighbor, about the person you work with side by side through the day, maybe about the stranger that you see on the corner that you pass or sometime in your life that you may have never spoken to, but here's a chance. Let that be your priority. That be your commitment. Someday there will be that harvest. Let us be among the sowers and the reapers that rejoice in that harvest together.